Arr, Grog.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir, joined by Kerry Warbis. You right, Kerry?
I'm good, Matthew. Wouldn't it be funny if you suddenly said a different name altogether?
Yeah, I thought about playing with your name a few times. I thought about Keza Weser.
Oh, yeah. I used to get called Kez and Keza at school. Nowadays, quite a few people just call me Warbis.
Well, I mean, there's a whole section of people in Bristol to this day, and it's quite disturbing for people who meet me recently and come into that circle, that I'm just called Weirdo around the table, and it kind of freaks people out. So I don't know. I don't take it personally at all.
No, it's I think it's quite nice. Yeah,
it's on the surname, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is on the surname. But I don't know why I haven't ever called you it as a sort of affectionate nickname, where so many others must have.
What's that word when two couples merge?
Sex.
There's a word for it. Huh? All right, Kerry, just say what you see. I was actually meaning there's a word for Bennifer and Brangelina.
Yeah.
I said another word once and a listener got in touch, went, actually, it's called, was it portmanteau?
I mean, a portmanteau is that, but I don't know if that's the case when it's a couple. There's a specific.
But I think we'd be Weirbis.
Because when me and Peter did it, we were thick biz.
Which sounds a lot like thick piss.
Oh, dear.
All right,
some meds. Anyway, we've already gone toilet, haven't we?
Gone totally toilet. All right, okay, so just to...
detoiletize.
Yeah, let's get some Glade in and Summer Meadow. Summer Meadow your ears with a little ad, and we'll be back.
Welcome to the tranquil world of Ambridge, where fresh air meets charming landscapes. Introducing the Archer's Air Fresheners, a delightful collection inspired by the iconic locations of Ambridge. Take a stroll through the fragrant orchards of Brookfield with our Brookfield Blossom scent. Infused with the essence of blooming apple blossoms, it captures the essence of this beloved farm.
Can I smell dead badger?
Step into the elegant gardens of Grey Gables with our Grey Gables garden scent. Let the aroma of freshly cut roses and lavender transport you to the heart of this quintessential English estate.
Christ! What did Cranford Crystal have for lunch?
Experience the rustic charm of Aldrich River Am scent. Immerse yourself in the earthy notes of freshly harvested barley, Adam's unwanted cherries, and chemically enhanced waterways.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Kerry, can you handle a little quiz? Early doors.
I can. I was just thinking though, I bet at Fawlty Gables they don't have air freshener. They'll have room scent or proper like scented candles or those lovely incense. What are they called? Those sticks that you put in oil.
Oh, I've got a lot of those around the house.
Nice, aren't they?
Yeah, except when you lean over to check that your modem's still working and poke yourself in the eye with one like I did the other day.
Oh.
So I got a kind of a lemon scented eyeball jab.
Oh no, that can smart. Yeah, quiz me, babes.
All right, okay, let's go. So Fallon and Harrison and Ruby Coss and husband Malcolm checked into Grey Gables this week.
Yes, they did, Matthew. Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's not the question, Carrie.
Oh,
what were their room numbers?
Room numbers. Right, this was where Brad was being weird and had had a lobotomy. And it seemed like he'd had the lobotomy and then wrote the episodes at Fawlty Gables. I think it was 105 for Harrison and Fallon and 114 for the Mayor and Malcolm, Silent Malcolm. Is it right?
Correct.
Blimey.
In the cricket, what did Darrington end on? What was their final score? They were all out for
172.
They were. By the way, last week you asked me in relation to Harrison saying that it's like Arsenal Tottenham, Darrington.
No.
And you asked me which one are,
yes,
Darrington.
Yes, all right.
And I said they're Spurs. But I realised they can't be Spurs because Darrington actually win things.
Ah, right. Okay, good. Yes. Funny joke.
You thought I was going to shit on Arsenal then, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Could
no,
you
that's
tell?
Later. So Chelsea's playing the field, and actually she was playing the green when she was on the phone to Kenton. How many byes did she say at the end of her call when she finished with Kenton?
Oh, that was a lot. She did that thing, bye bye. Is that all right? Okay, like bye. I think it's 6 or 5.
It was 7.
Oh.
Close though, Kerry. Did well. I thought that was actually only an Irish thing, that bye. There was a sketch show when I was living in Ireland, and it was two guys wrapping up a phone call, and you could see them like split screen in different places, and none of them could end the call because they kept saying it, and then it would go away and there'd be other sketches, and then later you'd see them again and they'd still be walking down the street going bye.
I thought that sort of thing was like slightly posh people, is it not?
I only started doing it more on video calls. I had a video call, this is a parental thing. Mm. I was like prepping some food once and I propped the phone up when I was chatting with mum in an open cupboard. So I was like at head height with her talking. And then we kind of wrapped up the call. Yeah. And I was like, okay, all right, see you later. Bye. And she went, bye. And I was chopping chives or whatever. I looked up about 30 seconds later and she's still there staring at me.
In your cupboard.
And I was like, you don't know how to end a call, do you? She was like, no. So I ended the call.
That's not doing bye, though, is it?
No, but I think now I tend to do it with Dad because it's a way of just... Because once I did that with Dad as well and I shut the cupboard door on him mid-conversation. I got the things I wanted.
Of ending a call, isn't it?
Yeah, you've seen those like really shitty Zoom calls where people slam the laptop down and stuff.
Yeah.
And we've had enough.
Didn't Gordon Brown do that?
He did, but he didn't mean to do it, did he? They were like, okay, thanks, Gordon Brown, and he just closed it.
Yeah, it's good. But when I said posh, I actually am thinking it again. Sort of like city types.
What types?
You know, city finance sort of people. The type who sort of go buddy and all that shit.
Or like Harry this week, who said, so you'll come with. Come with is up there with my bad, isn't it? Which Kerry and I had a little bash about on the Patreon this week. By the way, the Patreon episode out if you want to hear it. So, I mean, it reminds me that bye. I mean, it was very much, it was like a regular Irish thing. But yeah, I know what you mean. Did you ever see that video of the guy who was talking about his gap year on YouTube all those years ago? I'm watching it now, and it was very funny in 2007, but if I watch it now, I'm like, this is just basically Boris Johnson, and he became Prime Minister. He's like, he keeps telling anecdotes, and every anecdote ends with, and then I chundered everywhere.
That sounds like a Fast Show character. Also, the sorts of people who say gap, yeah, their whole fucking life is a gap.
They're just not plugged in either. Like these people that manage to, like trustafarians that have, they run a tiny business which makes absolutely no money, but they manage to keep it going just because their dad or their mum did something useful before they were born.
Yeah, I won £30 on the lottery today. I'm fine.
Bye. All right, Kerry, let's talk about Dem Archers. So let's start with Sunday, the cricket. Now, listeners will have heard you recently saying that you don't like bottom, but you do like cricket, don't you?
I do, yeah. I've been to some one-day tests. I've watched 2020 stuff on the telly. I think if you give yourself to it, it can be good, like anything in life.
Does this giving yourself to cricket, does that happen at Stonehenge at the solstice?
No. Although Stonehenge looks a bit like wickets, doesn't it, I suppose? You'd have to have massive balls, wouldn't you, to knock them down.
Okay. Call the National Trust. Kerry's cracked it. It's an ancient cricket
game. What they haven't managed to find is the big ball.
No. They'll find it in a river in Wales somewhere at some point, won't they? They'll be like, oh, fucking hell.
It'll be in someone's garden over the hedge, won't it? They haven't looked.
Yeah, some guy refused to give it back. Kerry famously, you know, was a proto-stalker. You sent a telegram to Derek Randall once.
Rain Man weirdo. You've remembered that?
Of course I remember.
God, yeah, I loved him. I was obsessed. I had a right crush on him, which is a bit weird considering I was about 12. Derek Randall, Rags, he was called.
He was a bit
Rags.
Of a beaky-faced chap, wasn't he?
Yeah, very slim, sort of like, I was going to say sort of hunched over. He had a funny gait about him. I don't know why. He was just a cheeky chappy and was great at that moment in time. Had a bit of a strange crush.
You ever put him into Google? I think one of the first pictures you get is him running across a pitch with a massive bottle, a comedy-sized bottle of Bell's Scotch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's like a man of the match thing or something.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, God, I haven't actually looked at him for a very, very long time. Let's have a look. Oh, he's got a funny little wonky face, hasn't he? Yeah, don't know why. Liked him a lot. He's still alive as well. Hello, Derek.
Let's get him on. Did he ever telegram back?
No.
Bastard.
No, he didn't. God, so imagine sending a bloody telegram. That's how old I am. That was in the 80s.
This is the telegram equivalent of being left on read by Derek Randall.
Yes, it was. I didn't expect a reply. My heart swelled. My heart swelled. Just knowing he might have seen the words I had sent. I think I had to ring on the hall telephone to say the message that was then telegrammed.
I wonder if it's like Ringo Starr in that episode of The Simpsons where he's just replying to every bit of fan mail he ever got and he'll get back to you eventually one day.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Imagine if I actually did get one back.
But Ringo ain't doing that anymore, isn't he? He posted a video a few years ago saying, I'm not replying from now on. Peace, love.
Oh, did he?
He said, what I've got now on my desk, I'll reply to, but after that, basically there was a cut-off.
I bet the ones on his desk were sort of 1964 or something. He hadn't got very far.
All right.
Yeah, cricket. Yes, okay.
Adam, Tom and George were out in quick succession.
Got to mention three characters, though, didn't they?
Yeah, I would have liked to have heard George getting broken by the sledging. That would have been good.
Yeah, he scored one, didn't he? He made a wild swing at it. There was quite a step-by-step guide to how cricket works, what they could see in front of them. They were describing things to the person next to them who could also see it. For the benefit of the radiogram listeners, he is coming up to bowl now again.
Also, all right, I get Jazzer's Scottish, he's a rebel, but I think he knows when someone gets runs and they don't, right? Because like they hit the ball and didn't move and it only went about 5 yards. And he went, how many runs do they need now? And Harrison's like, still three. They've done nothing.
Yeah, and he was wanting them to whack it all the time and do sledging and what did he call it? Jazz ball. So that's like a Scottish, is it jazz ball as if there's an L at the end, but you don't say the L for the ball, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but he wasn't playing, was he?
No, he was there as moral support for Tracy give Harrison. I thought his main project was to wind up Harrison, who would then wind up the team and make them a bit more aggressive.
Didn't work, did it?
No, Hannah was the saviour, wasn't she?
Yeah, there was that whole thing of like, oh, gosh, at this rate, they'll need me and I won't be very good, will I? And you just knew she was going to hit a six or something.
Got her a date with Chris, though.
As a mate.
You got to be careful with how you say things, you know, because he said it was a square cut, classic Joe Root, and let's meet up and have a ball by ball review.
Not in the pub, Chris. No. Come on.
If he mixes that up, he said, like, we'll have a classic Root.
He didn't show, though, did he?
No. I think he could have probably told Hannah on Tuesday when she said, see you tonight. And he'd be like, yeah, there's just one little caveat. I literally just spoke to Alice 30 seconds ago. There might be a wild card situation where I can't come. I think that would have been much better than just telling her on the night.
Yeah. Did he know at that point, though?
He did. He literally had to come. Alice had just exited stage left.
Oh, yeah. And he said at the last minute, yeah, if you don't hear back from those people, then do let me know, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes, so yeah. He could have done better there, I think. Just as they'd already got over the awkwardness, he could have said, look, there might be a situation where I don't show, but I'll let you know.
Naughty Alice, saying that it was a stables business meeting that she was going to. How did it go? Oh, it was all right. It was about extra lighting and renewing stuff. Really vague.
We've had to get rid of all of those hats that are out of date.
And then Harry was right with her. It was quite dangerous, wasn't it? Because he bowled in going, oh, just as she'd put the phone down. Or she didn't put it down. It was she pressed the button on the mobile telephone device.
He bowled in. I think he'd had a bowl of something. Could you hear the vast nature of the sniff he gave?
Yeah, yeah. This is going to, if this sniff is a, is it a Chekhov sniff? Or is it a real... This has got to come out at some point, hasn't it? Where he goes, actually, it's not just booze. Always coked up to the eyeballs.
And he got really manic, didn't he, though? He's like, no, you don't need to come anymore. I'm fine now. Everything's going to be great. Yeah, all good.
Yeah. It's certainly in the script, isn't it? In big capitals. Sniff. From time to time.
Also, no, that's completely wrong.
Go on, Matthew. Tell me.
I was going to say no appetite, but no, that was the opposite. When they first went to that race event, he was like necking roast potatoes, wasn't he? He couldn't stop himself.
Yeah, but that's probably because he hasn't eaten for 12 hours on the previous Coke thing or something. You know, like, oh, I don't know. It's got to come out, I think, that there's more to it. I hope so, anyway. We've been sniff detecting to no avail otherwise.
Yeah, he's full on. He's jamming on Crusty White for sure. There's no doubt about it. But sticking with Alice, we had that quite awkward situation with Lillian and Kate coming round to watch her angrily make spaghetti.
She spoke really weirdly, didn't she? I hope you don't mind me carrying on with Mother's spaghetti. That was a bit Pip-like, but she was already a bit off when they arrived. Oh, we just want to chat. Just want to put something to you. We want to know if you're all right. We know things have been difficult. We're worried. And then she just kicked off, went, it's a deputation. You mean about my drinking? Shouted at them about how well she's dealing with stressful things.
Yeah, that was all a bit of a hot mess. I did like the aftermath when it was just Azra and Alice, where they had that little conversation. And she said to her, like, it just feels like I'm on the same road every day. Nothing changes. Like, she has a fear of falling off the wagon as well. And Azra has obviously been in the room with Alice and Harry during Harry's blood. You're helping him, and that's going to be a problem down the line.
Yeah, keep at a distance to be completely safe. However, would you, like, bump into someone in the village, say, oh, call me Azra. Now I'm going to talk to you about your medical case in the open air of the country lane.
Did she start the conversation, though, or didn't Alice start it to apologise for what happened? And then she just said, no, I know I was a bit full on. Or did it work the other way around? Did she apologise first?
Oh, I think, well, Dr. Malik, she was like, oh, hi, I'm thinking of living at Beechwood.
There was a very strange follow-up question, wasn't there? Where she think, do you think I could live on Beechwood? What the fuck happens on Beechwood that makes it unlivable?
Yeah.
Helen lives there.
Yeah, don't. No, you can't live there.
That's what they're referring to, isn't it?
Yeah, keep at a distance to be completely safe. The very words that you said to Alice.
Beware the cheese woman.
I did think it was a bit strange to talk about her, you know, health stuff. Did you not? Like, it's 1 minute. You call me Azra because we're in, like, village world, not doctor world. But I'm now going to talk to you about doctor stuff.
I get the impression they felt that there was unfinished business. But yeah, doctors famously don't like to talk about work outside of work, do they?
Well, no, they shouldn't do, really, should they? Also, the weirder still, though, prior to that, was Alice suggesting that people come along to her appointment for proof that she's not drinking. Yet another sort of all-comers health appointment.
Yeah, that was just to rub it in Kate and Lillian's face, wasn't it? But Lillian wouldn't go.
And how would Azra Dr. Malik know whether Alice is or isn't drinking?
I don't know, actually.
They didn't mention anything, though, did they?
She did actually ask that question, though, didn't she, at some point? Like, are you drinking?
Yeah, well, ask an alcoholic if they're drinking.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mess, that scene, but I just liked the afters between the two of them. All right, Kerry, let's have a little breather. You can come and sit in on my doctor's appointment with me. And when we come back, you can tell everyone everything.
Cordwell Cream has been produced by the Sparrow family of Forsett Magner for over 1,000 generations. An honest, likable, and wholesome cheese. Cordwell Cream has been described as like eating cheese in the pub with your mates. A witty and down-to-earth cheese. Probably the funniest Borsetshire-based cheese available. Cordwell Cream would never rig a cheese-judging competition, praise the Daily Mail, or falsely inflate its sales figures in an attempt to deceive the cheese-eating public. Cordwell Cream, probably not recommended for the maiden aunt. Also, we don't have a stupid fucking viewing window.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, Kerry's just signed an NDA.
You didn't tell me it wasn't just a regular checkup, Matthew. Blimey. I wasn't prepared for that glove action.
Just make sure that doesn't go viral. I saw you filming.
On my YouTube channel, that's going.
So Kerry said to me, two words, faulty gables.
Yeah.
The case of Brad and the cases.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to come at different sides from this, because I was quite in a little kind of pre-chat with Kerry when I was running late tonight. Kerry said, I was about to say, like, I've been finding the whole Grey Gables story quite funny, and in particular tonight, which is Thursday, because we're doing a Thursday record. And before I could say anything, Kerry went, what a load of shit that was.
Now, this may have been influenced by the tweet-alongers who were also of that mindset. The majority were. For the Thursday and the Wednesday episode, there was a lot of "who the hell is writing this" comments.
Let's see where it starts on Monday. So you've got Lily and Oliver.
Yeah.
At cross purposes, because he's talking about the cricket. And he's like, "Have you heard about Chris and Hannah?" And she was like, "Chris and Hannah?" He's like, "Yes. Got right in the crease." Like, all what are the sexual cricket idioms? You know, she had a good old look at his googlies. And then, you know, she's like, "What? Hey?" And he went, "Oh, they're staying here." And he was like, "Yes." And the, you know, because Chris won the Easter egg relay brass coin
badger
jousting competition. Yeah, ride a horse competition, whatever it was. Like, even I wrote it and I can't
spear
remember.
Spear a badger.
Spear, no, there was no spearing of badgers.
Messages in a bottle.
Yes, yeah. That was it. And there was a point where I think Lily went, "Eggs and runs?
I know.
We're back to Listeria and Edwina Curry, aren't we?"
Yeah.
Eggs and the runs.
Years of egg problems.
What year was it, Kerry?
80 something.
88.
Yeah, Oliver said, "You heard about Chris and Hannah, did you? Their stand?" And Kate went, "One night?"
You mean Lily?
Oh, I put Kate. Do you know, there were a couple of times where I didn't know who the fuck was talking this week.
Tell you what, between Lily and Fallon this week, I think this should be like parental guidance, possibly a 15.
But Lily did sound different. She was a bit croaky, and also she hasn't been on for a while, and someone on Twitter was saying she's been doing something else, and that often what happens is when they have been elsewhere acting for a period of time, then they come back on, they do sound a bit different.
She produced a play, didn't she?
Right, is that it?
Yeah, there was a really sweet post on Instagram a while back of some theatre up north, which is, I think, one of the first theatres she went to as a kid with her dad, and her own play was on at that theatre. There was a photo of the two of them outside.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice to hear Lily, actually. It was nice to hear Chelsea this week.
Yeah, it was great having both of them back.
Yes.
So happy.
Refreshing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was that double entendre thing. And it was interesting that Lily was like, "Oh, I didn't know that those two were." It was almost as if, like, she didn't know it, but wouldn't be surprised if they were, even though they're not. But I think they're going to, do you?
I think something will happen, for sure, because I think we need the George story to come into that as Chris's nephew.
Yeah, and I reckon that Chris will find out that he stood her up for the drink based on a lie and will feel bad. And so there'll be a conversation, or he'll feel cross that he missed out on that opportunity, and it will make him sort of think, "Oh, I would have liked to have spent time with her and think a little more around her as someone that's a possible future partner."
Alice's web of lies to cover up what she's doing with Harry.
Yeah, so you just saw, yeah, what was this year?
No, I didn't. I said Alice's web of lies, Kerry.
Oh, don't know where that came from.
No. Anyway, God, that's like when they flash that thing in your eyes in Men in Black. Don't ever say those words again, Kerry.
Sorry.
So she's lied to Lillian already, and Lillian's gone and asked Chris, and he was like, "No, Martha's not poorly." And now you've got Hannah saying to Fallon, who's Alice's best mate, pretty much, Chris had to babysit because Alice had a meeting about the stables.
Exactly, yeah.
This is going to get messy.
Yeah.
And they're going to go around Alice's to say, "Look, Alice, what's going on? We're weird. You're weird."
Everyone is weird here.
Everyone is weird, yeah. Everyone is weird. You remember that song I sent you a few weeks ago, "Everything is Normal," Kerry?
Yes, that was good. And Alice will be sitting in a cardboard sentry box.
God, the things that you will just... When she went, it amazes me what she comes up with.
Yeah, she's in a box wanting some biscuits. That's it. It's nothing to do with an imagination of any sort of note, really.
Yeah, they're going to get round there and be like, "Alice, are you alone? who's in the bathroom? They go up there and like Harry's going to be in the bath covered in his own feces, like with coke all
over
his face.
With a face full of powder, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be like the say hello to my little friend moment in E.T.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it can't come soon enough. His comeuppance, the whole thing shattering, Alice getting away from him, not to go back on the drink. Please, 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 no.
I was a little worried that there was a redemption story coming for him, but now I'm not so sure.
He cannot be redeemed.
But we had this conversation, didn't we, last week about is he written to be disliked? Because there's quite a lot of pearl clutching between the cast of The Archers when they're like, really? People don't like the character Helen? I was like, come on, you know that you're writing her to be disliked.
I know. I did ask that question about are we meant to feel any kind of empathy for him? And sadly, a bit had to be edited out because of something. But because of sound stuff that was happening. But I
Kerry decided to whisper it. And I was saying something at the same time and it just came out as... let's be fair. Kerry, you said that you possibly it wasn't being acted well.
Yeah, I can't work it out because I just don't understand. I don't think he's acting that well to be... This is my opinion. So I didn't know whether it might be that. Is that the reason that I'm not twigging that we should feel some sort of empathy for his struggles? Or is he irredeemable and should be hated? Is that the purpose of the writing?
I think it's a bit more Russian doll than that. I think he is acting badly as the character. He's a bad liar. And therefore, most of the time, everything with him is front, isn't it? Everything is an illusion. It's a pretense.
Yeah.
He's not very good at presenting that version of himself. But for some reason, Alice hasn't spotted it.
Yeah, she's buying everything, isn't she?
Yeah, so I think he's actually... We're meant to listen to him and think, he's not being honest. He's a bad liar. So therefore, that comes across as he's acting badly. And I think it's just the character is acting badly. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I understand what you're saying. But have others... Like Kate said about his aura, but nobody so far has said, he's chatting shit, that guy. Why are you believing him?
I mean, Lillian couldn't see past her
horn.
So that was that.
Actually, have many of the other characters spent enough time with him to suss him out?
Harrison didn't like him.
Yeah, well, he's got a cunning eye for wrongdoings.
Yeah, I mean...
Historically.
He's gone to give a safety assessment on Grey Gables. Like, Oliver, I'd get a second opinion if I were you, mate.
Do hotels have security men? People? Not men, necessarily. People?
Well, are you talking about Mick? Lovely Mick was back.
Oh, God. No, but do answer that question. You're a hotel hospitality person. Do you have security people at a hotel such as Grey Gables?
I think you do, yeah. We had one. I worked for a hotel in Australia that was famously quite close to the red light district. And the security guards just used to turn a blind eye as workers of the night came in and left again. Mm. I'm pretty sure there was like some deal going on.
So what do they do? Just like wander around the premises with their hands behind the back, like keeping an eye on stuff? Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
In Grey Gables, though?
Yeah. And arrest anyone in kind of fictitious period costume.
Do you think this mention of security and was it Harrison? Oh, someone mentioned CCTV, didn't they? Like, oh, should we get? Oh, was it Oliver about whether we should? Oh, I can't remember. CCTV was mentioned. Well, anyway, might this lead to something being captured around there?
Do you think it'll be Ruby Koss and Malcolm temporarily borrowing the Robin Hood costumes and going at it?
Yes,
in the grounds.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Mick, I liked Chelsea being back and Lily being back, but Mick being back. Oh,
and he's thinking of moving to Ambridge.
Well, hopefully, whatever security, if he gets the job as security person, if anyone tries to breach the security at Grey Gables, hopefully they clonk him over the head with something. No.
And he's pretty good at security. he'll tie them up in the basement and then regale them with his stories of how he went on tour with Saxon on their Wheels of Steel tour.
I don't know why I don't like him. He's got a stupid voice, hasn't he?
He actually sounds to me a bit like Pete Postlethwaite when he talks. Why is that funny?
Well, I just didn't know who you were going to say.
I was going to say like Zippy from Rainbow.
I don't know what you were... Yeah.
The thing with him is, and this happened a bit before, do you remember when Joy had a heart-to-heart with Lee about how she felt Mick was coming on a bit strong?
Yeah.
And he came back in, he was like, you've been talking about me, haven't you? He can sound quite threatening quite quickly.
Yes, he can. He's awful. I get bad vibes. If auras can come through the radio, I have bad aura feelings about this guy.
He referred to his lady friend Joy. And I thought, go on, Lily, this is your chance to say, she posed in the nude for my ex. She never said it.
Do you know, I think possibly part of my fear of him and not dislike of him is my gut overprotectivity for Joy. It might be driven by that.
That's natural. So we had the big old case mix up.
Oh.
How do you pack a case so that it's utterly visible that you've got Sheriff of Nottingham and Maid Marian clothes?
And why have you got the Sheriff of Nottingham and Maid Marian? Why those two people?
Yeah, if you're going to have anyone, it should be Friar Fuck.
So I just didn't like any of this. The whole scene of the, we've arrived at the same time as you have arrived. The case, all our bags are over there. It was so bloody signposted. That was one annoyance of it. How Lily and Brad were speaking to each other drove me mad as well. Like, they wouldn't speak like that. The cases would be and then she then was like, oh my God, the Lord Mayor has got our case. And the scene where Lily and Brad knocked on the door and he went, porter here, coming in, something. And the mayor turns up and then Lily goes, oh, it's because I'm looking to see whether the complimentary chocolates have been put in there. And they haven't. We do like to look after us. Fuck off. Just say there's been a bit of a mix up with the bags, which that shouldn't have happened anyway. I hated all of it. Drove me mad.
I didn't hate any of it. I actually really enjoyed it, Kerry. So they go. I was just getting visions of... No, I was actually laughing. I had visions of like Basil Fawlty doing that thing where he was like, just checking the walls.
Exactly. Yeah, Fawlty Gables. It was like that, except not funny.
Blimey. When Brad said, your Lord Mayorship and your lady husband, I thought that was fantastic.
That bit was passable. That was one line.
Kerry's hard to please.
No, I'm not.
No, that's true, you're not.
Yeah, didn't like it at all. It was like, oh, cringing inside out. Bad, bad, bad. Sorry.
I think sometimes it depends what mood you're in when you're listening to it as well, doesn't it?
Well, all of Twitter are in the same mood then.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm glad you're happy and not in this mood.
Yeah.
And loved it. I like to think of other people sort of... laughing at this.
Yeah, I mean, I did drop two Mitsubishis before I listened to it, so you know.
Did you? Oh, no. That explains it.
Chelsea's back and she's playing the field. Chelsea's back interviewing for multiple jobs. She thinks she can balance this with her position at the Orangery. Not quite sure how that's going to work. The Orangery have been going through it, actually, because like Brad has left to go to Grey Gables, and now Chelsea thinks Fred is gone to the bloody meat packing plant, and now Chelsea thinks she can just disappear off and work at the Bull or the Tea Room. What's going on? Like,
oh yeah, her name is Chelsea Four Jobs, isn't it? She's got Hair, Lower Loxley, the Tea Room, the Bull. Shove a broom up her ass and she'll sweep the floors everywhere as well. There was a good discussion on Twitter about, Kenton and Natasha have sussed this game that Chelsea's playing, which is like, you know, I'd really like to work for you, but Kenton has offered me more money and vice versa. And they're going, right, let's make her sweat. We're going to make her wait a week before we decide. And on Twitter, they're saying, well, they both know her family situation, the lack of money. Why wouldn't she try to get a bit more? It's nice that she's trying to get work, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Also, her mum works in one of the establishments.
Mm-hmm.
And her, let me get this right, and her niece works in the other one. So is it not going to get back to her at some point that they're pissing her around?
Yes. Why are they pissing her around?
Hang on, not her niece. Sorry, not her niece. I'm talking out of my arse. What's the relationship between Chelsea and Emma? Help me out. It's her aunt, isn't it? No, it's not. Fuck a duck.
Oh, you've got something wrong, but I can't correct you.
It's the Horobin Carter thing. I'm getting right. So Emma and Chris are siblings, right? And Tracy, as weird as it sounds, is aunt to Chris and Emma, right?
Yeah.
So what is Emma to... This is like one of my English tests. What is Emma?
Oh,
what is Emma to... Is Tracy... No, hang on. What the fuck is going on here? So what is... Are they cousins, Emma and Chelsea?
Bloody hell.
It's a mind melter, isn't it? I'm sure it's a very simple answer. For some reason, I'm just not seeing it.
Can we not...
The Wikipedia page of the Archers has all the family trees.
I know, but... All right, have a look then.
Because that's going to bug me now. I know this is something very simple. It's just...
It's not, though, is it? Because there are some weird... relationship ties, aren't there? I think Derek Randall's got something to do with it.
Do you think? The best bit about this is that people will just be yelling at their podcast playing device
now. Yeah. You fucking morons. It's really obvious. Tracy is definitely Emma's dad.
But all I wanted to say was her beep works at the tea room.
I'm pouring wine whilst you're looking this up.
I think Emma is her aunt, right?
Emma is Chelsea's aunt.
Is that correct? I'm asking.
I don't know. I'm not looking at anything. I've
All right, okay, I got it here. Got it here. So that's the Archer family tree. Give us the Horobins. Grundy. Aldridge. Archer, Tucker, Carter.
This would never happen on another podcast.
Badger!
Well, because I only asked this mainly because George has been calling Chris Uncle Chris, hasn't he, recently? Obviously, Emma's his mum. But what does that make?
Yeah.
What does that make them in relation to the Horobins? Are they...
I never think about this sort of thing.
Susan is a Horobin, right? So, and her sister is Tracy. So if her sister's Tracy, I think they're cousins. They're cousins.
Are they? What, Chelsea and Emma?
Yeah, aren't they?
They're cousins.
Because
Emma is
his kid and her sister's kid is Chelsea. They're cousins, for fuck's sake.
So it's quite straightforward.
So hang on, let me just say that. Let me just edit this in. So, and her cousin works in the tea room.
Yes, I love that all happened. Yeah. I really do, because A, I never think about that. And B, I'm glad that you were in a bit of a muddle.
It is confusing, isn't it? I mean, the best thing will be now if that's still completely wrong and someone comes back and
I think the only time where you might sort of go, hang on a minute, is if they're about to have sex and you think, how are they related? Otherwise, I don't care, really.
Yeah, because there was some talk a few years ago that George and Chelsea might get it on or had got it on at some point, particularly around the pregnancy, wasn't there?
Oh, well done, Matthew, for finding out.
Well, I did. I just looked up on Wikipedia.
The very simple thing that loads of listeners will know straight away.
You know, at least I said I looked it up on Wikipedia rather than just spouting off and pretending I knew it all.
Badger!
Yes! Exactement. Facts matter.
Facts matter.
I mean, the only thing we haven't touched on is the scene tonight where Brad said, I know why you're doing this, Lily. And she was like, do you? He's like, yeah, because you fancy me. And that's what girls do. And I'm very flattered.
That was absolutely pathetic that he would say that, think it, Brad's totally changed. He was, what point are they trying to make with this? He would never have behaved in such a way. He wouldn't have leapt in saying that. He wouldn't have thought that that was what was happening. He wouldn't have got so flustered about the bloody pastry thing and the bloody suitcase thing. Thursday was mildly an improvement on Wednesday, but both were, all, they hurt my head, these did, these episodes.
But there was a moment when he said to Lily, yeah, that was so obvious with the cases, why didn't I see it? And he kind of suggested there's something, like there's a block with him that he can't get past. Did you notice that?
God, well, of course. It's so laboured and badly done, all of it. It's supposed to point at him sort of not being able to cope with certain presentations of information, isn't it? And reading people, and get a bloody mallet out and hit the listeners on the head with it. Why don't you?
How did you think Lily handled it?
Oh, I liked that. Where she went, yes, I, because he said, someone will come along for you sometime. He's like, well, yes, I'll just have to wait, won't I? Which was the perfect reaction to something really idiotic like that, wasn't it? Just, there's no point in going, what are you on about? To someone as sweet as Brad. It was good to go along with it and sort of go, yes, I really hope so.
But he's already had words with Adil and said, can you keep us apart? Because she clearly has a thing for me. But now Adil's gone on a farm in Pakistan and his sister's moved to the village instead.
It's very bad. It's bad, bad, bad. Also, prior to that, the whole how Lily was behaving, where it's hot, cold, hot, cold. I'm not talking about the pastry here. But, you know, the sort of, oh, don't worry about the case. Also, she bloody didn't know which case was which either. I said, oh, well done. I didn't know which it was. And he went, well, it's 50-50. Make your bloody mind up. And then he was late and she said, oh, don't worry, it doesn't matter. So she was blowing hot and cold, wasn't she, on the jump how high as an employee type of situation.
But that was after Mick had talked some sense into Lily and said, like, he's a good employee, that lad.
Oh.
That's the kind of person. God, Kerry, how many times are you going to make that noise during this episode?
I'm sorry, but no. Wednesday and Thursday, pile of shit.
Okay, all right. What do you think about the fact that they're only getting half a bottle of champagne in their room?
Oh, again, that noise.
Again. Oh. Listeners, I have to be fair. Kerry is not making a noise. I've just got a soundboard and I keep pressing it.
Just going, oh. Yeah, Oliver sort of going, oh, tell you what, put half a bottle of champagne between two people as a prize.
Tight ass.
What? What on earth? Mm. And Lily wouldn't give them anything, would she? Until the policeman's ball was mentioned. And then she's flogging, we haven't mentioned this, have we? Where she's trying to flog Lower Loxley because it's got better curtains.
Yeah.
And a softer vibe. It's not like a battleship like Grey Gables.
I just imagined that the room that she was showing Harrison was just a massive grid with pegs in it where things keep exploding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. The one bit I did like was where Harrison, because he's like a sort of child, isn't he? Sort of going, oh, it's great here, isn't it? And he was swishing the curtain. You know, like, did you hear that?
Yes. I also noticed he said to Fallon later in the week, because now I think he has major pronunciation problems, because he went,
Champagne.
Champagne. And I was reminded of him saying bolognese and cappuccino. I don't think you can say anything in a foreign accent without accentuating it.
Yeah. And when he sort of went, this is another little bit I did like. Was when, because when you're at home, you're just faced with all them little jobs that you need to do, like descaling kettle. What else? The piles of shite all around you. I thought, God, what sort of home are you living in?
Well, it's filled with her upcycled furniture now, isn't it? She had to stick it all in there. Do you remember? Because Natasha wanted it the fuck out of the
tea room. Didn't they then smash it up and get rid of it. Someone came round and helped them get rid of it.
Yeah, you're right, I think. I'll tell you what.
I've remembered something, Matthew.
Yeah, you have. What, hang on. We've got a jingle for that, haven't we?
Make a note.
I made a jingle for a Kerry memory. Yeah. It occurred about 7 months ago. I made that jingle, so it definitely happened.
I wonder what on earth I remembered that time. Can't remember.
I asked a question. I was pontificating about something, and then you remembered. You made the connection.
Oh my god!
But you can't remember what it was.
No, of course not.
No, neither can I.
Too much in my head every day to remember things.
Yeah, this chaotic house they've got. So Harrison's saying there's like a wonky shelf. Or a kettle yelling at you across the room, going, "Please, descale me." He's been on Fallon's omelets again, hasn't he? I once went to Cream and went back to my mate's house in Putney, and the kettle started talking to me. But I'm not a serving police officer.
It's not hard to descale a kettle. Yeah. I'm just imagining their kettle like full of calcified chips of. Actually, right, okay.
He's getting confused with descaling the kettle and de-escalating like domestic situations, isn't he? He thinks you have to kind of like calm everyone down.
He uses Calgon on the domestic violence cases.
yeah, he goes and rubs it in their face, and then he goes to the kettle and says, "Like, look, everyone, just calm down."
Serious note here: water. I'm in a hard water area where. Scaling of the kettle occurs very quickly. Is Borsetshire and its environs, is that meant to be a hard water place?
It's significantly harder when Brian's fucking loads of chemicals into the am, yeah.
Ooh.
Facts matter.
Right, where is it meant to be? Somewhere near Birmingham and all that, isn't it?
Yeah,
is it
meant to be slightly to the southwest of Birmingham?
Right.
I'm not.
So what's the nearest actual bloody place?
God knows.
Right, okay. So is Birmingham. This is fascinating, isn't it? A hard water area. Is water in Birmingham soft or hard? The West Midlands is supplied by both hard and soft. Oh my God. Damn. I thought they might have got that wrong.
It's like my listening to the Archers this week, you know.
Facts matter. I want to know whether his kettle would have been scaly or not. This is the sort of thing that matters, not made Marian outfits.
And it's best not to look at a kettle like that, isn't it? Because a watched kettle never descales. Let's have a little break, Kerry, and then we'll have a chat about the lovely folk that listen to this podcast.
Yes.
Bridge Farm brings you Cheese Billows. Now, I know a lot about cheese. If someone has been upsetting you, that is a disgrace. Cheese Pillows can solve all of your problems. Simply pop along to Bridge Farm, get a cheese pillow, pop it on their face.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So we have a Patreon page where you can support us if you choose to. You get the weekend episodes early and ad-free, and you also get our midweek specials. We've had a few messages in relation to recent episodes, which we keep meaning to read out. So we're going to go through a few of them now. So let's go into the badger sack.
Let's have a look in the badger sack.
In relation to the last midweek special, now this will be a right old test of Kerry's memory. Dave Howard said, Cidershed Water Sports? I actually laughed out loud. There's much encouragement within the podcast community for shows to be both audio only and video based. I was going to ask if you have any plans for enabling us to watch the Cidershed, but now I've changed my mind.
I don't remember what the water sports reference was now.
It was your box wine sounding a bit like you were having a whiff. Kay Guyden said, Kerry, I have a doorbell glued on top of an old one too. Couldn't be bothered to try and get it off.
Yes, Kay. United in madness. Love that.
Secondhand Surfboard said, oh my God, your piss joke caught me out as I was listening in the car. Got home, fell out of the car and into the house with direct line to the loo. Only just made it. I think that was you blended with Austin Powers when he has that piss coming out of cryogenics. And it's like Michael York and all these other people in military uniforms stood there waiting for him, looking awkwardly at each other.
I need to listen again to our episodes, I think.
In relation to Mr. Eddie, which actually got mentioned on the pod on the Archers tonight, didn't it, Mr. Eddie? Or yeah. During the week. Dave Howard said, ploughing up the old passage. That's absolutely no way to talk about Lillian. Oh. I think this was the fact that I mentioned that the ploughing competition was going on opposite the old passage. Esther said, carpet in a hedgehog onesie will forever be how I picture him in every scene now. Yeah, Harrison, that's how I always see him like that. Helen said, I started listening this morning while driving, and during that epic first advert with all the back references, I said out loud to my steering wheel, and this is why this is the only Archers podcast I am on Patreon for. Sublime Matthew, well done.
Yes.
Nina said, how many other Bryans is Kerry a fan of?
Very good question. Brian Aldridge, Brian Ferry, Brian Eno.
Is that it? The three Bryans?
Brian the Snail.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, Nina, Kerry will be back to you on how many Bryans she's got a thing for. Vivian said, great episode, but have you been on the daiquiris or something, Matthew, with your mispronunciations? What did I mispronounce? Probably lots.
Mm.
We'll forever have an image of Fallon and Harrison in the Ambridge version of 50 Shades of Grey. I'm with Kerry on bottom. TV series, not Fallon and Harrison. Loved the young ones. Watched that with my then boyfriend, whose nickname was Rick. Surname Rickonenko. Father was Ukrainian. So we were Viv and Rick, but less smelly. Never got bottom,
excellent.
Though.
Mm. Good. Correct.
Living in darkness, Viv.
Nope.
Some people don't realise that I admin the patron, because Mandy Belshaw said, so where do I send the Trixie film quotes that will help you shame Matthew where he won't see them? Adding on, I'm as shit as you, by the way, and there's nothing wrong with Passport to Pimlico. It's better than Bill and Ted.
Yes. Send them to me.
I suggested sending them to your Instagram or your Twitter personal ones.
Thank you, Matthew.
Don't send them to the Cidershed Instagram, because I'll get them. And Sue has said, I'm with Kerry. Never understood why Bottom was so popular. The Young Ones was brilliant. Bottom is just puerile.
Puerile's okay, but they were not.
In relation to last week, Jessa North said, cosmic. about last week's episode. To which I replied, awesome. Katy Pierce said, I've been so looking forward to hearing you talk about that scene from The Importance of Being Brian, Hideous Harry and the Bartleby bullshit. Mandy Mack, who became a patron last week, said, that was a pisser of a podcast. The correction to Harry's answer phone message is gold. Lots of giggles. Thanks for the ad. Spun me out. Didn't expect it. Was a bit high too.
Brilliant.
Omnibus comes out Sunday evening here. Stoked with the horse noises in my patron ad. I've got two of the freeloaders, Muffin and Mate. Yep, I'm in Australia. Thanks for the podcast. They're friggin' mint. Aww. Test carry on movie lines, but all from With Nail and I. And I was like, I said, thanks, Mandy. Luckily, I spent 5 wonderful years in Australia, so I'm aware a pisser is a compliment. With Nail.
Ah, good.
Means like you laughed a lot. Something very funny. With Nail, and I said, With Nail is probably one of the few movies Carrie would do well in.
I'd also twig that they were all from the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bit slow, but.
Yeah. Joe O'Farrell said, what about film homages to the In the Archers itself? Lillian and Paul, no, not that one, in Brief Encounter, was simply embarrassing. But who could forget Joe and the Ferrets reenacting Halloween 2? Coming up, the Texel Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, very good, Joe.
Oh, like it.
That's good, isn't it? Rebecca said, that Bartleby chat made me cry laughing. And then we had a midweek special that came out only a few days ago. And we've got some feedback on that. Jin said, thanks for the perfect pick-me-up today in podcast form. Liam Rayner said quite dauntingly, I'll send Kerry some. Out of context, I presume that means movie lines.
Yes, and he has. Thank you so much, Liam. We'll do those in the Patreon episode next.
Yeah. Alice said, I promise I'm not Adam or Andrew. Happened to see the original post on Reddit regarding the nomination and immediately thought of Kerry. Yeah, all right, Andrew, you're not fooling anyone. Nina said, thank you. I detest it when people say my bad. It's like fingernails down a blackboard to me.
Yep.
Kate said, woke up early and couldn't get back to sleep. I reached for my phone and was delighted to see a midweeker had dropped, lay in the gloom of grey dawn and giggled for 19 minutes and 27 seconds. Really needed that laugh this week.
I thought she was going to say, couldn't get sleep, put your podcast on.
It went out like a
light. Straight away.
F***ing no bother. Louise said, the conversation about Matt's mystery parcel was like a foreshadowing of Fallon's dodgy suitcase contents. I think we need a photo of Matt and Kerry as Maid Marian and the Sheriff of Nottingham, either way round. Helen said, I went running to Reddit following listening to the podcast this morning, and then the banana references in the village or chitage made sense. In other news, my local oats company calendar in my kitchen tells me yesterday was National Banana Day. Who knew?
Yes, feel free to flock to Reddit to see the weirdness that is there.
I thought it was already weird enough in Archer's podcast land. But...
Everything is normal.
And the funny thing is, like...
Nothing can top that. Nothing. Literally nothing.
The other two Archer's podcasts, like, have talked to us about it as well. Which is the funny thing. Oh, lordy.
All as bewildered as the rest of us.
Now, we often say send us an email, but one that slipped through the net was from Benedict Prothero. And it said, hi guys, I exploded with a torrent of Finbar Saunders-esque ejaculations upon hearing Chris's pansexual innuendos at the start of Monday's episode. This was the cricket, wasn't it? From a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being very impressed by how you held yourself on the crease. You've got a fantastic body shape. You know how to grip the bat. And at the end, could only assume that Mr. Gimlet was simultaneously doing unspeakable things with my mother in a car park while Chris rejoiced at the notion of two more women at the crease. I think I accidentally said up my crease, didn't I, on the podcast. Right after the episode, I headed to Twitter, latterly known as X, to revel in the witty observations of others regarding this deluge of double entendre, but the cupboard was unexpectedly bare. I was left wondering if it was just me who had been fanar-fanaring at these manifestly suggestive utterances. You'll have recorded this week's gem of an episode by now. Patrons will have already bathed in its delights. I shall await the morrow for my weekly treat, and boy, does it remain a treat. I just felt the need to email before listening to say that I pray to the Ambridge gods that you will not have allowed such a rich vein of implied filth to go unremarked upon. Stella and Hannah at the crease, and so say all of us. The crowd goes wild, in parenthesis. Come to think of it, if they do end up that way, then we'll all be looking to Thora Heard for a suitable portmanteau. So what are Hannah and Chris's portmanteau?
Ah, hiss.
Yeah, we said hiss, didn't we?
Channa.
Channa. Yeah, go on. Ever loving your work, Benedict.
Thank you. What, like, taking the time out of your life, busy life, I'm sure everyone has busy lives, don't they? To write such a lengthy, funny email. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you want to write us an email, it's hello@thesidershed.com. We have an Instagram, which is @thesidershedpod. I got a DM from Mark there that said, "Cidershed, do not go." Just a bit alarmed by. Having heard you both mention apparently going at each other before recording and then say the Archers is perhaps beyond parody and should wind up the pod, please, no, I need it. In brackets, very selfish. It's not me. As a coping mechanism, why not create pseudonyms on Reddit and slag each other off safely over there? Badger!
Ooh, love that. Yes, you know what you're talking about.
The thing is, Mark, you know, with Kerry, when they secretly fancy someone, she gives them a hard time, you know, to cover up.
What, you think I fancy the Archers?
I'll make the Kerry. Let me push the soundboard. Hang on, make that noise again when you're frustrated with the Archers. Oh, no, sorry, I pressed Kerry orgasm. I said disappointed with the Archers.
Oh dear. Yeah. Just, you know, if the Archers dies, we'll probably carry on prattling about other things in life.
Oh god, won't yeah. Matthew? Yes.
There's plenty of that. And we'll go back stuff around, isn't it?
We'll go backwards, won't we, as well? Start going backwards. In the Archers, not in life. Oh. My dad was worried the other day that he was he wanted to drive his sit-on drive lawnmower, but he needs to, like, the neighbours want their grass cutting, and to go round there, to actually go on road for all of those 5 seconds is illegal. You have to put it on a trailer and take it round. And I said, I'll just drive it down. It's a tiny village. Yeah. And I was like, if the police stop you, just pretend to be simple. That was my expert advice. And he actually countered that with, well, that won't be a problem. So, yeah, you can follow us at the Cidershed Pod on Instagram. You can also do that on Twitter, as also known as X, as Benedict said there, Kerry. Anything been kicking off there?
Twitter is a wonderful place still. I know it's all gone to shit in terms of the owner and what have you, but I do love Twitter. We're at the Cidershed Pod there. On Blue Sky, much quieter, but also lovely. At the cidershedpod.bsky.social. On Twitter, actually, I did get some DMs which were from Andy Jones. Thank you for the Monarch of the Glen series 4 episode 10 clip. Andy wrote, "Monarch of the Glen series 4 episode 10, ahead of its time." And this is it.
Badger!
The music's good as well, isn't it? Liam sent the film quotes, and Robin Ben also sent a really good suggestion. Instead of village or shitage, which is something that we do on the Patreon episodes, he sent a possible thing that we could do, which is moth or myth, which is names of moths.
Badger!
And whether they are names of moths or not. So okay. I was gonna surprise you with that, Matthew, but I don't think we've got time today.
No, let's do that on the Patreon. Moth or myth?
Okay,
I'm up for a bit of moth or myth.
And I would like to say thanks to James for the tremendous day up at the Emirates on Sunday, despite the score. Thank you.
Great
thank
game. You. Great game of
Your
football.
Lovely ticket. Loved Shut it.
Particularly the last 6 minutes. Just. God. I was in IKEA watching it on a phone.
Not interested.
Over at Facebook, we've got a group called the Cidershed Podcast, and there's a lot of badger action going on there. Sue has sent a picture of a log with a captain's hat on, sat opposite a star, around a candlelit table having a glass of wine. And they said, she said, I spotted this as I scrolled by and was surprised to see Adam had been stretching his acting repertoire into modelling before I realised it was a lookalike. I think you're actually meant to get that it's a Star Trek reference and say, Captain's Log, Stardate.
Oh, brilliant.
Andrew said, just arrived at Helsinki Airport and was greeted by this on a towel dispenser in the gents. And the towel dispenser had a picture of two badgers on it.
Bloody hell, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
My mother sent me a photo of a painting of a badger that she'd found as well.
Yeah.
That we can add that to the catalogue.
Rob Williams sent a picture of him completing a puzzle section on an app. And it just said, badger! And there's a picture of a pixelated badger appearing. And,
oh my God. It's got out of hand, Matthew.
Colin was in Portugal and he took a photo of a what looks like a bus stop or a sign on the side of the building, and it just says badger in a picture of a badger underneath. What is going on? No idea.
And was that you then, if it's in Portugal? Have you been graffitiing?
No, it wasn't me. No, it's actually an official sign of a shop or a store or a bus stop. I'm not quite sure. Pat sent us... she said, we have a full box of these free tote bags. I grabbed one today for shopping. Can't imagine where it came from. And it's called Badger Balms. There's a picture of a badger there with a...
you know, when something you sort of start, it's like a little seed.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, it's just like a sort of jungle, isn't there, of badgers.
Louise said on our Facebook tonight, I think that maybe Maid Marian would have preferred Robin Hood over the Sheriff of Nottingham. And Robin has posted a picture of Alan Rickman as the Sheriff of Nottingham and said, depends which sheriff.
Oh, true. Yeah.
It fits between him and Costner. And Nina said, can we please erase last night's episode from our minds forever, please? Yeah.
Which one's she talking about? Thursday or Wednesday?
I think she's talking about Wednesday.
With you.
Really? I guess I was alone in that then. I think it's the Fallon thing.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
All right. Shall we make haste and don't spare the horses?
Yeah. Yes, that was fun. It was long and it was fun.
Yes. Like a night of passion with both of us, which is what you get if you win the FPL. No, hang on, you get a sweatshirt or a t-shirt, something like that, anyway.
But would maybe some of our listeners would like some Cider Shed Pod merch who aren't in the Fantasy Football League? It's just occurred to me, like, you know, tell us if you do.
Yeah, it's a soft launch of the of something when we do the... It's a soft launch of some merch when we... get the winners of the Fantasy Football League, isn't it? And then we'll take it from there.
Oh, right, okay.
Anyway, we should say goodbye. Should we do that? Okay, everyone. Thanks, and we will see you very soon.
Yes, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to us. Mwah.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.